Well, good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. Thank you for joining us here at Fellowship Christian Reformed Church in Toronto. It is a gorgeous day in Toronto, just a beautiful day and a wonderful day to worship the Lord together. So glad we can be together. Today, we look forward to sharing the Lord's Supper on our live service. If you're watching this on the recorded service later, it won't be on the recording. But we do anticipate a good time together. Today, all of us, we'll be talking about hospitality today. And fittingly, all of us who are leading worship today are leading from our own homes. So from our homes to yours, we look forward to worshiping the Lord together. Now, I know that you, like the rest of our entire nation, have been deeply moved by the discovery of the 215 graves at the Kamloops Residential School, as well as the sober realization that many more graves are going to be discovered in our country. Our denominational leaders have encouraged us to join in prayer and action today, and especially throughout, you know, this time of remembering. And to that end, I hope you've checked out some of the denominational resources on the denominational website for specific ways that we can respond to worship in worship today and in your worship times alone throughout the week. So today, as part of our confession, Peggy is going to be leading us in a moment of silence. We'll take a full minute just to be silent and offer up our own silent prayers to remember these lost children. Now this morning, we have God's greeting into worship. The words of Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen careful to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. And we look forward to that this morning as we're together. Now, right now, we'd like to give you this call to worship. Come and welcome God's words that inspire and challenge and remind us how God has offered us holy hospitality. God has prepared a meal to nourish our weary spirits. So let us receive the gracious hospitality of our God, the reassurance of his presence, and the inspiration to be God's hospitality to his world. Let's sing together.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty name. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Sound of your name. I sing for joy.
Our Old Testament reading today is the story of Abraham receiving the three visitors from Genesis 18, the verses 1 through 8. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Please join us in this prayer of confession. As Pastor Mark mentioned, following the prayer of confession, we will continue in silent prayer for 60 seconds as we together lament the lives of residential school children in Canada. God hears our confession and forgives our sin. Knowing that our God walks with us in our confusion, our doubts, our failings, our struggles, let's now come humbly before God to ask for mercy. For the times we fail to offer hospitality to those in our world who suffer injustice, oppression, and poverty, we pray, God, have mercy on us and your people. For the times we miss the gift of the stranger, for the times we close our door in fear, for the times we miss your face in someone else, Lord, have mercy and forgive us. Forgive us for our selfishness, for our silence, for not caring enough for the strangers who come in our communities. Teach us to love and care for the stranger the way you do. Give us eyes to see possibilities for radical hospitality and hearts big enough to make room for someone else. Make us more and more signs of your hospitality, so your kingdom may come on earth as in heaven. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. Hear these words from Christ from 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. God Almighty loves you and forgives you Amen.
Good morning, and welcome to our table. This table makes me think of hospitality. And when I think of the word hospitality, I think of two things. First of all, there's always room for more. And second, food and times around the table need to be shared. My role model was my mother. I'm one of 11 children, and as you can imagine, we had a very large table. But my mother always made sure there was room for more. We actually had two flaps on our table on hinges so that when we had extra people, we could just pull up the flap. We had a large one on one side and then another one on the other side. We could just pull up on that flap and we would have extra room. And we sat on benches, so you could easily slide one or two people on the benches. And as a result, we always had a large group of people around our table. And we have the best memories of times around the table. When our children were growing up, we lived close to the high school, and very often their friends came over for lots of different reasons, and we shared many, many good times around our table. This table here, it may look quite big, but we actually have three extra extensions, four times around the table, because we believe there's always room for more. And we also believe that food and times around the table need to be shared.
So like Nell, I enjoy creating hospitality. And for me, most of that is through creating physical spaces for people to be together, which of course this table is a physical space. But during the pandemic, our ability to gather around this table has been kind of limited. So our table hasn't had many people for a while besides Nell and myself. So the pandemic has moved our table outdoors onto our driveway at times, and when it's warm enough, onto our downstairs deck where we can be accessible from the outdoors. But Nell and I are also pleased and blessed to live in a forest for which we've been given some responsibility. And here too, we want to encourage hospitality. And we want to create a space for people to walk and to talk and to be together. And we've experienced a lot of that in the time that we've lived in Walden here. And it's just a way of sharing the beauty of God's creation with each other and with other people. And it becomes a place of hospitality. So the table of the Lord, which we are celebrating virtually today in church, is a place anywhere in the world, not just in a church building. And we want to invite others to join us in any way that we can.
Disconsolate, wherever you languish, come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts, here tell your anguish. Earth finds no sorrows that heaven cannot heal.
Well, thank you, Nell and Bill, for setting a table for us today. And today, as we said, we do look forward to sharing the Lord's Supper together. And each week that we share the Lord's Supper, we're continuing this teaching series that we're calling Come to the Table. And each week we examine a different aspect of the Lord's Supper. Today, we'll be reading from Luke chapter 22. So I encourage you to open your Bibles to Luke 22 as we discuss the idea of the hospitality of the table. Each gospel writer, and also the Apostle Paul, Ichu wrote about that last night of Jesus's life before his crucifixion, they each had specific details that they wanted to bring out of the story. So pay attention to what Luke wants us to learn. And I'll begin reading in verse 1 of Luke chapter 22. Now, the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Make preparations for us there. So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." And they began to ask one another which of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift you all like wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death." But Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times that you know me." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? Dear God, we are privileged to come to your table this morning. And as we come to your word now, please, by your Holy Spirit, teach us what you would have us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hospitality. Some of you know a lot about hospitality. You know how to set a good table, make a heartwarming meal, provide a comfortable bed, and make people feel right at home, just like Bill and Nell described this morning. But first, I want to say a word to you men. Because I know that some of you men, as soon as I said the word hospitality, you tuned out. I can see it in your eyes. You tuned out because you know the ladies have you beat in this category, that it's the women who know how to cook and to make a table look nice. But let me say to you men, hang in there with me for at least three reasons. First, I've enjoyed great hospitality from some of you men. I appreciate that. And second, even if you can't cook a fish stick, you can make a cup of bought coffee hospitable for another person. Or likewise, you could make it inhospitable as well. But third, we're going to be looking to what a man, Jesus Christ, teaches us today about hospitality. And for you ladies who already know a lot about hospitality, I hope that you too will be surprised and encouraged at the hospitality of Jesus from this story. Now, as Luke tells the story, Jesus comes to this meal with great intent and purpose. He knows this is their final time together before his death. So he comes with instruction and teaching. He also comes with, he says, a kingdom. Three times he mentions this divine kingdom and the place of the disciples in the kingdom. And this meal takes central place in the kingdom. And we prove that point today, don't we? By the fact that we are gathering around the Lord's table together. Now, also as Luke tells it, Jesus was filled with deep emotion at this meal, understandable because he knew of his impending suffering and death. He says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you, he says. There he is, the night before his passion, eagerly desiring to eat a meal with these beloved friends of his. And yet the disciples seem to be clueless. Yet there they were, not sitting at table, but reclining at table, leaning into one another. And those close to Jesus could likely have heard the pounding of his heart. Here he was, just before his suffering, there at table, yet they're still struggling with these men to whom he's entrusting his kingdom. Now, when we examine a text of scripture, there's many ways to look at it. And one good way is to look for the movements of the passage. Where does the passage start? What direction does it go? Where does it end? Because every writer has a purpose to move an audience in a specific direction with the words that he or she writes. So the way I propose to address this text this morning is to look at its three movements. And the first movement is what Henry Nouwen refers to as a movement from hostility to hospitality. The table is open. The hospitality of Jesus is offered to all. Now, when you create a meal experience, you think carefully about who you will invite. You want people there that you like, who will get along with one another, and who will collectively and individually appreciate what you've done for them. But look at the cast of characters that Jesus has present at his meal. It's first of all power grabbers. We're told in verse 24, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Don't you find that just astounding, how clueless the disciples were? How could they possibly have been so callous when Jesus' life was threatened? How could they possibly have not understood Jesus' consistent message about servanthood? Secondly, he had with him deniers. We know that when Jesus was arrested, most of the disciples fled. Not Peter. Peter tried following. He tried staying close. But Jesus says to his dear friend Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times. Three times that you know me. And that is indeed what happened. How could he have done so? And third, of course, the betrayer, with his very hand on the table with Jesus, sharing the bread, sharing this cup of the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Luke very purposely opens the story with the fact that Satan had already moved Judas to betray Jesus before they even gathered for that meal. How dare Judas now eat that meal with our Lord? Well, these are the people Jesus chose to eat with the night before his death. These are the recipients of Jesus's divine hospitality. And Jesus addresses the hostility with divine, yet very human, hospitality. But listen, we are the power grabbers, the deniers, and the betrayers, aren't we? And that's not how we would picture ourselves in this scene. When we picture this scene, our mental images are as tidy as a Renaissance painting, where we're sharing a happy and intimate meal with the Lord. But all of us humans bound to sin really come originally as strangers. Ephesians describes our life without Christ as aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And it is only because of Jesus, it is totally because of Jesus that we have a place at the table at all. Because we are told also in Ephesians, now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Thanks be to God for that. Have you ever experienced a communion observance in a church where you were made to be an outsider, an observer, even a stranger? I once visited a really, really large church where their way of observing the communion was to everybody get in a very long line. And then they would receive one by one the communion elements given to them by the priest. My friend decided to remain an outsider and not risk it, but not me. I jumped right there in the line. And I watched over and over again as the priest handed out the bread to each person. And each time he gave them the bread, he had a formula. And he spoke that formula to them in a language that I could not understand until he got to me. And then he stopped and he pulled back the bread and he said in perfect English, "What fellowship are you from? Meet me in my office at 2:30. Well, all I could do is laugh. But the reality was I was a stranger in their church community. I came as a stranger and I left as a stranger. You may know that in the New Testament, there's a word, xenos, and it means stranger or foreigner or even enemy. And Jesus used this word when he said, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me in." From this word xenos, we get our English word xenophobia, which literally means a fear of strangers. The New Testament word that we translate as hospitality is philoxenos, a love of strangers. Do you love strangers? Do you love entertaining strangers? Do you love having strangers at your dinner table or in your church or in your social gatherings? Hebrews 13:2 tells us, "Do not neglect to show hospitality," that is philoxenos, "to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." And the writer in saying these words is referring to stories like that which Herman read for us a moment ago about Abraham and the three divine strangers. Well, here we practice an open table. We encourage your participation so that you may build up your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you come with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, come to his table. We want people to come and share in the table of grace. We want the reconciliation that it offers between human and God, and between human and human, to be yours as well. So we join in the movement from hostility to Christ's hospitality, where the stranger becomes a beloved brother or sister. Well, the second movement is from guest to host. The presence of Jesus makes him the very real host in this story. And we are the guests at Jesus' table, enjoying his presence, that we may take his presence as guest hosts to the tables of others. I love thinking and playing with words, and words are so interesting, the way they evolve in meeting. This word xenos that we just talked about morphed from being a word that just described a stranger to being a word for guest, the common word for guest. And it had been less than 3 years since these disciples had moved from being strangers to guests of Jesus, just as we have moved from being strangers to guests. Now, you can be a good guest or a bad guest, and we've all experienced both sides of that coin, haven't we? I look back at myself as a young man and marvel what a lousy guest I must have been. I received marvelous hospitality and yet was so unaware of my responsibilities as a guest. My most laughable time comes one time when I was needing to go to Ottawa and I had no money. And so I arranged through a friend to stay in Ottawa with a pastor. I did not know this pastor, but I had thought I understood that I was generously being offered a place to stay. At least that's what I thought when I arranged it. But when I arrived there and I got to the door and I started talking to this man, we both quickly realized that he had no idea who I was or that I was coming. And yet then he proceeded to welcome me in and he provided me a lovely room for the weekend. Great hospitality. I arrived as a stranger. I became a welcome guest. But interestingly, Xenos is also used to describe not just the guest role, but the host. In other words, Xenos can describe both parties involved in hospitality, guest and host. And interestingly, our English words, although they come from Latin and not from Greek, share a similar and common etymology. Hospitality, hospital, hostel, host, guest. All of these words come to us from the same Latin roots which describe the reciprocal duties of hospitality, according to the Online Etymological Dictionary. Now notice how in the story how seamlessly Jesus moved from being guest to host. He was surely the guest, for the room and its furnishing belonged to someone else. The dinner was purchased and prepared by the disciples. Jesus shows up as guest. And then he seamlessly takes on the role of host. Take, eat, he says. It is he who pronounces the blessing, and I'm sure he did not wait to be asked to do so. It is he who tells them, do this in remembrance of me. And Jesus can do this so naturally because of who he is. He is presently there with them, and the disciples naturally defer to him, submit to him, give allegiance to him. They said, Lord, we're ready to go with you to prison and even to death. Well, so too, as we gather around the table, we pray and we welcome the one who comes to us as our host. It is the Lord's table, made so because he is present. We defer to him. We submit to him. We give allegiance to him. And having done this once at the Last Supper, Jesus eats and drinks with his church now in the kingdom at this Lord's Supper. He no longer comes as guest. Jesus is always the host, and we are the welcome guests at his table. When we leave from here, we have new opportunities to practice hospitality. And now that warm weather and vaccinations are here, we might actually be able to practice that in person. This hospitality of guest and this hospitality of host. I know how we're all looking forward to that. So when we go to other people's homes or yards and we break bread with them, we bless them in the name of Jesus. And in a very real sense, we bring Christ's presence to their tables. Maybe you have a friendship with a not yet Christian who trusts your faith walk enough to let you bless the meals that you share together in their home. This is a sacred moment. This is bringing the presence of Christ to them. The third movement, then, is that from greatest to servant. Following Jesus' example, we show hospitality as servants. And we, regardless of our status, receive the service of Jesus so that we may serve others. Do you watch the series, The Chosen? It's a new video series about Jesus choosing the apostles. They have some wonderful meal scenes in that. Invariably, they're all around the table, kibitzing and sparring and laughing and arguing. But whenever a really serious question comes up, they turn their attention to the rabbi who's sitting at the end of the table, and all eyes are on Jesus. And as Jesus ate the Last Supper with his disciples, he's clearly the VIP in this scene. But Jesus has a message for the disciples. Being a VIP in the kingdom is not about importance. It's not just hosting great dinners. It's about being a servant. I am among you as one who serves, Jesus said. And we know from John's gospel that, among other things, Jesus washed their feet that evening, including the feet of Judas. This is a far cry from the picture of a dinner party where the women do all the work and the men are smoking cigars in the parlor. It is not so with Jesus. As our beloved song goes, Lord of eternity dwells in humanity, kneels in humility and washes our feet. Oh, what a mystery. Meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is our God. Why did Jesus do this? He did it so that in his kingdom, we would stop trying to be the greatest, or in other ways, elevate ourselves above one another, so that we would instead pursue greatness and leadership through humility and service. The invitation of this table is to lay down our power grabbing and sit side by side with all others as equals. At the table, we're like patients in the waiting room in our hospital smocks. We're all equal. Jesus serves us, and in doing so, he says, "You are at my table, so you are great." And he says the same thing to the person next to us, too. And then we go out from the table as servants. This is what the church father John Chrysostom called the liturgy after the liturgy. Once we have left the Lord's table, we welcome people into our homes, around our tables, into our yards. We go into the streets and neighborhoods and serve as Christ to them. Brendan Byrne says, "The supper of the Lord will enable the church to carry on in his name in celebration of the hospitality of God that has been the center of his mission. It will do so in anticipation and pledge of the everlasting hospitality of the kingdom." I love that phrase, the everlasting hospitality of the kingdom. We live today in that everlasting hospitality of the kingdom. We receive and benefit from this kingdom hospitality, and then we turn around and offer it around our tables and the tables of others. We take the presence of Christ to them, and we take it out in service. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, as we prepare to celebrate your supper together, we thank you, God, for hosting us, for moving us from hostility to hospitality, and teaching us how to be your servants of divine hospitality. In Jesus, our Lord, our host, amen.
Here, see the bread of life, see waters flowing forth from the throne of God, pure from above. Come to the feast prepared, come ever knowing, earth has no sorrows, but heaven can remove. Earth has no sorrows, but heaven can remove.
Privilege now of leading this congregation in our prayer. So why don't you join me now? Let's pray. Loving and compassionate God, who is ever present, we are grounded in your love, and we remember the words of Jesus to love your neighbor. Call us to be caring and hospitable towards strangers in our midst when brothers and sisters from other countries flee the difficulties of their land. Help us to welcome and to walk gently with them. When students and visitors come from far away, choosing our land as their destination, help us to respond in kindness to their interests and needs. May we care for all of our neighbors as ourselves, that we may know the blessing of giving. I'd now like to pause to bring our individual concerns and prayers for others before you. Lord, this is not as a fix-it list for you to remedy, but to remind ourselves that we have a responsibility to care for each other as well as ourselves. We think especially of the needs of families, and this is families in all their forms. The tensions, stresses, and things that might be challenging households at this time. We think of the extra stress that the virus pandemic has placed on many. Health worries, financial stress, loved ones lost, livelihoods lost or badly damaged, people working from home, children doing homeschooling. And we think of those where there is tension and stress, communication breakdowns, and family violence. For those experiencing mental health issues, social isolation, and homelessness. Lord, we're thankful of the factors that protect and make us stronger and more resilient. Good friends and companions, people to share our lives with, to share our concerns with, people who provide needed support, people who love us, and people who help foster a strong sense of community and identity and hope for the future. Let's not forget the persecuted church, Lord, especially as has been highlighted in our bulletin recently. We pray for Uganda's stability so it can remain a haven for persecuted Christians. We pray for Christian women who are abandoned by their husbands because of their faith. We pray that Ugandan churches will find ways to support persecuted believers. We pray for those trained to minister to Christian converts from Islam. And we pray for the late Pastor Thomas Jakuma. We pray that his witness might soften the hearts of those who hated him at the end. We remind ourselves that we live together in community. We remind ourselves of our call to mission and responsibility to continue to work for social justice. Father in heaven, there's none like you, God, in your love, your generosity, your gifting, and your hospitality. And we thank you that you are in our lives, working in us and through us to let people know your kingdom is open to all. In the name of your Son, who opened the doors for all and broke down barriers that kept people from you, we all pray. Amen.
Every week at this church, as part of our worship, we give two offerings. The first is for the ongoing work of this church, and the second is a special offering every week. And this week, our offering is for Reframe Ministries, formerly Back to God Ministries. Reframe Ministries is the media ministry of the Christian Reformed Church in North America and around the world. It proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ using the web and radio and television and phone and print and all other appropriate media. So in doing so, it opens doors for salvation and discipleship and broadcasts the gospel in regions which would otherwise be closed to the gospel. And today they're reaching people in almost 200 countries and 10 major languages. If you do not know how to give electronically or remotely, please contact the church office and we can help you with that. Before we sing our closing song, let me leave you with this blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people say, Amen. Let's sing together.
Cannot be bound by walls of wood or stone. Where charity and love are found, there can the church be known. True faith will open up the door and step into the street. True service will seek out the poor and ask to wash their feet. True love will not sit idly by when justice is denied. True mercy hears the homeless cry and welcomes them.